Om Sahana Bhavatu,
Sahana Punaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvina Patitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
We're in verse 113, chapter 7, so we'll chant that, but I am going to go back to verse 111 and 112 to kind of remind us where we are.
Do we want more light?
Should we turn on?
Yeah. Thanks. Kim mantra japavan murti, Kim mantra japavan murti, Janavad. Vatma bheda dihi, jnanavad vatma bheda dihi, jagannityatva dischatra, vyavartya syat utanyata, kim mantra japa vat, murti dhyana vat va atma bheda dihi jagat mityatva dihi cha atra vyavartya syat uta anyata. Okay, in this section we're dealing with viparita bhavana. A viparita bhavana is that taking your being to be other than what you are. Okay? So if you remember, we were talking about the three, what we call upayanishta, the three sadhanas that we have for gaining self-knowledge. Shravana, manana, nididhyasana. Okay? So shravana has to do with listening to the shastra, the unfoldment of the shastra, the Upanishads, and understanding exactly what the Upanishads are revealing, and that all of the Upanishads are revealing exactly the same thing, and that is that the Atma, the Self, is Brahman, right? So the Advaita. So the seeing very, very clearly, gaining that vision, that Upanishadic vision, that is Shravana. Okay? Without doubt, this is what the Upanishads say, and this is the teaching. Manana is... then comes into dealing with, yeah, but it could be like this. We know that all of the Upanishads together, all of them have exactly the same vision. That is clear. And what that vision is, we've seen. But the mind still has some doubts and says, yeah, but it could be this way or it could be that way. And then all of the different schools of thought, all of the different ways of viewing reality then become an issue. They become issues, they become doubts, and these doubts have to be resolved. That's manana. So shravana, clarity of understanding what the Upanishads, the vision of the Upanishads. Manana, the logic. Why logically it has to be this way and not that way. And that has to be true of whatever you're going to bring to it. If it's saying something that is different than what the vision of the Upanishads is, then that has to be dealt with, you know, experientially and logically. Okay. So that's manana. The third one is nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is dhyanam, meditation, but meditation, contemplation, which has for its vishya, for its object, the reality, the Atma, myself is Brahman, the Atma is Brahman. That's nididhyasana, where the mind is resolving into the truth of this vision. The mind is actually seeing, being with, abiding in the reality which the Upanishads are pointing out. That's nididhyasana. As opposed to upasana or different types of dhyanam, where we're meditating on, say, a form of the Lord, or we're meditating on the sound, like the sound om. Not what om stands for, but the sound itself. Or we're meditating upon a form of the Lord, something which is other than the self. Those are different types of jhanam, you know, different types of meditation. But nididhyasana has to do with the teaching and shravana that you've seen, that you've it, that you've recognized at the time of teaching, to allow the mind to resolve into that reality, to sit in the truth of it. So it's that type of meditation. That's Nididhyasana. So now we say that the Shravana is meant to remove any doubts in terms of the pramana, right? The whatever the what does this pramana actually say? What do the Upanishads actually say? So Shravana gets rid of those doubts involving the pramana. Manana gets rid of the doubts involving the prameya, the thing to be known, because the Upanishads reveal that the prameya, the thing to be known, is like this, that the Atma is Brahman, that there is only one being here. Okay? But then, it could be otherwise. Right? So Manana looks at all of these could be otherwises and removes all of the doubts around the prameya. Prameya means that which is to be known. Pramana is the means of knowledge. The pramana, the Upanishads, are the pramana. Right? They are the means of knowledge. Right? The prameya is the things that that it's revealing. Now, Nididhyasana removes what? Viparita bhavana. Viparita bhavana means in spite of knowing, in spite of so clearly seeing at the time of teaching, this vision is clear to me, still I behave as though I'm a jiva. I still behave as though I'm a samsara. And so what happens, that what that means is that in spite of my knowing, just because of habit, you know, the lifetimes of habitually taking myself to be this physical body in this world, right? Which is this, the ajnana born, that everybody's a product of that. So lifetimes, beginning those lifetimes of it, we're habituated to that, to taking this world to be real and myself to be this body. So viparita bhavana, this taking myself, the atma, to be the body, and taking the world to be satyam, the world to be the reality. I'm this physical body and this world is the reality. Instead of recognizing the Atma as Brahman, as free of any all of this, the limitations of the world, so the Atma is Brahman, and Jagan Mitya, that the world is Mitya, that it has no being, it has no reality of its own, it's totally dependent upon my being for its reality. I am its reality, in fact. So the viparita bhavana needs to be eradicated, right, by Nididhyasana. So viparita bhavana is that sense of being other than what I am. The sense of the world being other than what it is. The world is real, not mitya. I am the body, not Brahman. Right? And so the viparita bhavana is necessary in order that practice, it's like a practice. It's continually bringing my mind back to the reality of what I know. It's not what I know just intellectually. What I actually know, what I actually recognize as the truth of my being, the truth of this reality, I know that, but my mind habitually behaves in another way, and so I have to bring it back. That bringing it back is what we call Nididhyasana. Okay. So now this discussion here is on this viparita bhavana. And in verse 111, we did this one, but I'll just refresh it for you. It says, the Atma dehadi binnaha ayam. This Atma is different than the physical body, etc. That's the truth. The Atma is free from, it's different than the body, mind, sense organs. Mityacha idam jagat. And this world is mitya. That's reality. But tayoho dehadi atmatva satyatva dihi. Okay? The idea that the atma is the body, etc., and that the jagat is satya. These ideas, that these thoughts, these conclusions, dihi means these conclusions, that the atma is the body, and that the jagat, the world, is satyam, is real. These two conclusions, both of these, are what we call viparita bhavana. Okay, so it says viparya bhavana, which is the same as viparita bhavana. It's this this bhavana. This bhavana means this is my way of being. This is my being. This is my feeling. right? This is my feeling, what I take to be real. It's my bhavana. I like my feeling is good. My feeling is that this world is real and I'm the body. You know, that's my reality. So that's erroneous. Vipariyaha, that's erroneous feeling. The erroneous feeling that I am the body and that the world is real. This is what we call viparita bhavana. Okay? Then he says, in the verse 112, tatva bhavanaya nashet sa, that sa, that viparita bhavana, that the sa means that, stands for viparita bhavana, that nashet, that is destroyed, tatva bhavanaya, by the bhava, bhavana of the tatva, of the true feeling, the true understanding, you know, the true being, tatva bhavanaya. So that viparita bhavana is destroyed by that. Then what? What is that? Deha atiriktatam atmanaha bhavye. So one should meditate. That being so, it says, ataha, therefore, one should bhavye, one should meditate here. On what? Deha atiriktatam atmanaha. On the fact that the atma is different than the body, mind, sense organs. One should meditate on that. One should recognize it. One should see your freedom. That in fact, the body is changing, the mind is changing, all of these experiences are changing, that you are stable, you're not being touched by them. You have to do nididhyasana on that, to recognize the truth of it, to see it. So then, and then mityatva jagataha anisham. Anisham means constantly, all the time. You should meditate on the mityatva of the world and the fact that the atma is free of the body, mind, sense organs. Anisham. Continually. Means that continually means what? You can't function if you think of but continually means that your mind is in the habit of bringing your mind back to that reality, whenever it's falling into it not being that reality, your mind, your buddhi is set up to bring it back. So continually you bring it back as it gets lost into samsara, you bring it back to the jagannitya. As it gets lost in into all of the vagaries of your mind and your emotions and all of the samsara that's going on, you bring yourself back. That's the nididhyasana. So he'll talk a little bit later about what is nididhyasana really? Does it mean I have to sit like this? And Aparokshana Bhuti Shankara talks about this also. There's no rule like that. Nididhyasana means bringing your mind back to being with the truth of yourself. When you bring your mind back to be with the truth of yourself or the mityatva of the world, it means you're seeing that. When you're seeing it, that's nididhyasana. Right? If you're seeing it, the moment you're seeing it, that's nididhyasana. You're bringing your mind back to that. So you can be walking around, you can be talking, you can be doing whatever you want. You're bringing your mind back. But it needs to be brought back. It doesn't need to be brought back. There's no problem. It's only, you know, you get these little warning pricks. Pain, you know. Got a little mental, something goes on in your mind. Pain. It's like a little alarm. Fire alarm. Smoke alarm. Smoke alarm goes off. Smoke alarm goes off. That's the time to remember. It means you've got lost in that samsara. And why shouldn't we get lost in that? We spent lifetimes, beginningless lifetimes, totally encased in samsara, where I am this body, mind, sense, organs, this is my reality, my ananda is out here. That's beginningless lifetimes. And so just a few, you know, seeing it clearly a few times is not enough. It's not enough to stop those habitual connections. So your mind just gets used to bringing it back until those habitual connections drop off. And they just drop off in time. You know, it doesn't make any difference. They could drop off in time, they can take their own time dropping off if you know how to bring your mind back. If you know how to bring your mind back, you can be patient with that natural process. When we don't know how or even know that we should bring our mind back, right? Then, instead of a smoke alarm, we need the fire engines. You know what I mean? It gets too, we're too enmeshed. And then the whole body is involved, all of the physiological reactions of painful reactions are all involved. And so then you have to wait it out. You have to wait that out. But if you learn, as you practice, you learn to bring it back. That's what we call shama and dhamma. You know, shama and dhamma. these qualities, shama is really the quality to let a thought go. That's a huge boom. Because we do let most of our thoughts go. How many thoughts a day do you have? Most of them just pass through like scenery. So those, we have perfect shama. We don't even have to have shama. We're a living embodiment of shama. For those. Okay. No problem. We have the vairagya is there. There's no problem. The problem is for these thoughts that we can't let go. They grab us and then they immediately start building a web. They have emotional affect involved. You know, they'll build a web. And so those thoughts, once they start, they've grabbed you, the pain is there, you know, the agitation is there. It's at that time that you learn how to bring your knowledge in before it gets too bad, before you're too far down the slippery slope. If you're too far down the slippery slope and you're suffering in pain, then you can still, you know, be with, then you have to be with that pain and talk to it and work with it and deal with it and resolve it that way. That's not a bad thing. But I'm just saying with a lot of those thoughts, you learn how to let them go before they evolve into something really much more painful. So that's nididhyasana, the ability to do that. Then when we can't do that, you know, the next one that comes along is dhamma. You're not able to contain, you're not able to let the thought go. And so the thought is building up a tempest inside of you. And dhamma is that ability to be able to contain the tempest internally without acting out with harsh words or physical violence or all the things after, in hindsight, you wish you hadn't done. Dhamma is what stops you from doing this. It's control, physical control. But all of these things come into play. You know? So that's all on one level. That's where nididhyasana really becomes helpful. But then, you know, for the all of the different various complexes and deeper psychological habits that we have that cause a lot of pain, then there's a lot of other things we do, like inner child work and talking to and having an attitude toward all of those parts that is very loving and accommodating, that re-raises all of those parts. And so that's a different level. You know? But it's still, even on that level, you're still bringing your knowledge, you're bringing your knowledge to bear. And you're bringing the mind, yourself, that part of you that's a jnani, that has love and compassion and care and objectivity and sees everything as Ishwara, that jnani part of you, then can be like a guru or a therapist or a good mother or father to those parts of the psyche that are in pain. And that's how we learn. It's so important that we really learn how to be with our mind in such a way that it can gain jnana nishtha, so that it can heal. We learn all of these kind of tricks of the trade. And it's all education of how to be with the mind so that the mind enjoys a natural shanti, even when it doesn't have shanti. And even when it doesn't have shanti, I have a way of being with it that allows me to have shanti, holding the part that doesn't have shanti. You have to learn all of this. You know, and that's what we call nididhyasana and all of its auxiliary components. The nididhyasana is really just purely bringing the knowledge, bringing my mind back to my knowledge, so that I'm abiding there. So that's what we're talking about here. So he says, so here he tells that it's this contemplation on the jagannityatva and the atma as being free of body, mind, sense organs, which is really the whole vision, right? The self is Brahman, world is mitya. So that bringing the mind back to that, right, is what we call nididhyasana. It's not written here in the book, but that's what it is. Nididhyasana. And it's that which destroys, removes the viparita bhavana, which stops me from enjoying my knowledge. Keeps bringing me back into being a samsari, in spite of what I know. I'm bringing back into being a samsari, think of it like this. I remove the rope from the snake. Okay. I saw the rope. I mean, I removed the snake from the rope. Saw the rope clearly. But then I keep forgetting that I saw the rope. You know? And so now I'm behaving as though there was the snake there. All of my emotions, the whole way I'm relating is toward the snake, not the rope. Even though I saw clearly that the snake was the rope. It's really only a rope. So what do I have to do? What can I do? I've already seen the snake is really only a rope. But I'm behaving only as though it's the snake there. What can I do? I can't do anything. All I can do, if you want to call it doing, is bring my knowledge back of the rope. And I say, oh, yeah, it's only a rope, it's not a snake. So here, I know, I'm clear, but I'm behaving as though I don't know. So what can I do about that? There's nothing really to do in terms of an action. You have to bring your knowledge back because your knowledge has been overwhelmed by that habitual behavior. So that's what it is. So now, in this 113 where we are now, the question comes up. This, you know, nididhyasana, doing this type of meditation or getting rid of the viparita bhavana, the question is, you know, do I have to do that in a particular way? Like in japa, if I do japa, I have to pronounce the mantra correctly, and there's a way to do japa. I have to repeat the mantra, and I have to repeat it correctly and do it in a particular way. And especially if I'm doing the mantra in order to gain some punya or to gain some result, it has to be done in a particular way. Also, murti dhyana, if I'm meditating upon a form of the Lord, if I'm doing it as an upasana, then it's prescribed the way that I would do that, how I imagine the Lord, what the Lord is wearing, if it's upasana. There are particular, very particular steps that I have to follow. So now when I do nididhyasana, I'm trying to remove the viparita bhavana. Are there a lot of rules? That's the question. So he says, Kim, mantra japavat. I'll get to the Kim later. Mantra japavat. Like the japa, doing japa of a mantra. The vat is like, like doing the mantra japa. Japa is the repetition of a mantra. So is it like mantra japavat? Like doing the japa, mantra japa. Or murti jhanavat? Or is it like meditating, doing jhanam, meditation on a murti, on a particular form of the Lord? Because all of these are prescribed as particular ways that they're to be done. Is it like that? Was what? Atma bedadihi, this knowledge of the Atma being different from the body, Atma bedadihi, this knowledge, this recognition of the Atma being different than the body, for instance, or jagan mityatva dihi, or the knowledge, the dihi. Dihi means knowledge, but it's the recognition, it's the vritti, that jnana vritti, right, of jagan mitya, of the world being apparent, or the jnana vritti, that knowledge vritti, thought modification, that the Atma is different than the body, mind, etc. So these two things, you know, are they like, is it like doing japa, doing mantra japa? Or is it like meditating on a murti? Because he says, is it here, the vyavartya, is the repetition, I mean the practice of this, right, of this nididhyasana, is this to practice here, like that, like doing japa, or uta, or anyata, or is it different than that? Right? Is the practice of nididhyasana, removing the viparita bhavana, is that practice the same as, is it like doing mantra japa, or is it like meditating on a form, or uta means or anyata, or is it otherwise? Or is it something else, something different than that? Okay, so that's the first, it's asking this question. And he says, for the nididhyasana, these twofold parts, atma bedadihi, the knowledge of the difference of the atma, and earlier he said the difference from the body, mind, sense organs, that's one, and jagan mityatva dihi, the state of this creation being mitya, being apparent, that notion, that recognition. Here, is that practice like mantra japa or like murti jhanam? Okay, that's the question. So here's the next verse, 1:14. Anyate ti vijanihi,
anyate ti vijanihi,
drishtartha tvena bhuktivat, drishtartha tvena bhuktivat, bubukshur japavad bhunte,
bubukshur japavad bhunte,
nakaschit niyata kuchit,
nakaschit niyata kuchit,
anyata iti vijanihi, drishta artatvena bhuktivat, bubukshur japavat bhunte na kaschit niyataha kuchit. Anyata iti vijanihi. May you know that it's otherwise. That it's anyata. It's not the same as doing japa or dhyana. This nididhyasana, it's not at all like doing japa or meditating on a form. Drishtartha tvena bhuktivat. Just like eating, bhuktivat. Just like bhukti is eating. Just like eating, just like enjoying, bhuktivat. Drishtartha tvena. Because of the artha, the result, drishta, being drishta, it's not adrishta. The result of this activity is something that we're experiencing right now. It's like if you're eating food, say you're hungry, and you're eating food, that's giving you what we call drishtapala. Drishtapala is the immediate result of the action taking place on this plane of existence. It's not punya or papa, adrishtapala, to be experienced elsewhere. You know, so you're not accruing punya or papa. Like, for instance, well, I'll get to it. If I were to do a japa, mispronouncing the mantra, right? The drishtapala would be that I and everybody else, if I was doing it aloud, would be hearing me mispronounce the mantra. That's the drishtapala. That's the immediate result, is that we're all experiencing the mispronunciation of the mantra. Okay? Or if I'm meditating upon the Lord in a particular form and I'm doing it all incorrectly, the drishtapala is that I'm experiencing that incorrect vision, right? But the adrishtapala of what they're saying, if I'm doing mantra japa and I'm doing a mantra that has swaras, you know, that mantra has to be done in the correct way. Or what I'm... The punya or papa, the result that I'm getting, which is adrishta, will be incorrect because I'm not chanting the mantra. I'm chanting something else. Like, for instance, if they use one famous example, I don't remember how it goes, but if Indra, the word Indra is said in a particular way by swaras, like Indra, as opposed to Indra, something like that. The swara is different. One will mean evoking an enemy. The other is evoking a protector. So it's very important that these mantras are done correctly, because the adrishta, the unseen result, is what you're evoking there. So that's what they're talking about here. So now the question is, should this nididhyasana have to be done in a very particular way? You know, like japa needs to be done, or like meditation on a murti and upasana needs to be done in a particular way, because you're getting adrishta, punya and papa for that, right? Unseen results. Here, we're not talking about unseen results. We're talking about immediate results, like when you eat, right? When you eat, on this plane alone, you are eating food, and the food is satisfying your hunger, removing that papa. Right? Here, when you're doing nididhyasana, you're actually doing something which is acting upon the mistaken notion, the viparita bhavana, and it's acting upon that mistaken notion here and now in a way that relieves it, that removes it. And so the pala that we're talking about, the artha, is drishta, not adrishta, right? Like eating. Okay. So he goes, now he says, bubukshuhu. A person who is hungry, who desires to eat, that's a desiderative, a person bubukshuhu, a person who desires to eat, kaschit bubukshuhu, any person who desires to eat, right? Kaschit bubukshuhu, na bhunte, they do not eat, japavat, like in japa, like japa, niyataha, according to a niyama. Niyataha means following a certain rules. You know, like there's only one way to eat. I must sit down to eat, and then I must eat in this particular way. There's a niyama. Niyama means a regulation. There's a definite way this needs to be done. There's no. When people are hungry, they want to eat, there are many, many, many ways that they will figure out how to satisfy that hunger. There are many, he's going to go on, this isn't the only verse. There are different, many different ways to eat, not just one way, right? And there are many different places. So kuchit, you know, there isn't just one place, there isn't just one place or one way that a person who is hungry will go to eat. It's not unlike japa. Niyataha, if there's no niyata, there's no regulation japavat, like in doing japa. You understand? So because it's all drishta, these are all seen results. You can use the same thing. Like if I need to walk, if I need to go to the store, I can ride a bike, I can take my car, I can have a friend come and get me, I can take the bus. You know, there's so many different ways of getting from point A to B. It's all drishta. And so here, in terms of relieving the viparita bhavana, I have knowledge. Now, remember viparita, I have shravana, is there, manana is there, I know how to do nididhyasana. I have this vision. Because I have this vision, I can bring that vision to my mind. How many ways can I bring that vision to my mind? There are so many ways, right, that I can apply, I can think of my vision in such a way as to neutralize. I can bring my vision in so many different ways, in so many different contexts, to neutralize the vritti that's causing me pain. There isn't just one way. There's no niyama to follow. Okay? So, let's do the next verse.
Ashnati vana vashnati Ashnati vana vanashti Bhunte vasvechayanyata Bhunte vasvechayanyata Yena kena prakarena Yena kena prakarena Shuddham apaninishati Shuddham apaninishati Says Ashnati va Nava ashnati Bhunte va svechaya anyata Yena kena prakarena Shuddham apa ninishati Says ashnati va. A person can eat, one can eat. Na va ashnati, or they cannot eat. You have choice. You can eat, cannot eat. Bhunte va svechaya anyata. Or you can eat according to your desire, svechaya anyata, in many different ways. It's your choice. You can either eat or not eat, or you can eat in many different ways. I suppose you can eat with your hand, or you can use chopsticks, or you can use a fork, or you can eat on a plate or on a banana. You can have many, many, many different ways to eat. And svechaya, according to your desire, swa-icha. Icha desires swa-icha, swa-icha. As you desire, however you desire, in that way you can eat, it's fine, no problem. Or you cannot eat. You can eat, you cannot eat, whatever. Yena kena prakarena, in whatever manner, yena kena, in whatever manner, kshudam aninishati, in whatever way, by whatever manner, the one who desires to eliminate, to put an end, apani, to put an end, to eliminate the hunger, right? So, one can desire to eliminate hunger in whatever manner, by whatever way, right? Eat, not eat, eat in whatever way you want. The one who wants to get rid of the hunger, to assuage the hunger, can do it prakarena, yena kena prakarena, in whatever way they want. Okay? Simple. Everybody see that? We're free. We're free to do what we want. Niyamena japam kuryat Niyamena japam kuryat Akritau pratyavayataha akatam pratyavayataha anyatha karane narataha anyatha karane narataha swaravarana viparyayat swaravarana viparyayat niyamena japam kuryat akatam pratyavayataha anyatha karane anartaha swara varna viparyayat. Niyamena japam kuryat. One should do japa, that repetition of a mantra using the mala, according to niyama, according to vidhi, following the rules. This particular way to pronounce the mantra, particular way to do the japa. So, especially if it's being done for a particular in a particular ritualized form, but especially in terms of proper pronunciation. So, niyamena japam kuryat. One should do the japa according to vidhi, according to niyama, following the rules. Akritau, when it is not done according to vidhi, akritau, okay, niyamena akritau, when it is not done, absolute logarithm, when it is not done according to vidhi, according to niyama, following the rules, pratyavayataha, because it will bring about a pratyavaya, some sort of a sin. It create a papa, not a punya. Right? So it's like a sin, okay, an omission. It's not being done properly. Anyatha karane, when it is being done otherwise, instead of not following the niyama, not following the rules, it's being done otherwise, then anartaha. There is anartha. Not an artha, not a positive result. Anartha, a negative result. So it will create something unhappy situation. An artha is, can be, you know, the artha, like the purusharthas, are the goals that we want to accomplish. The anarthas are the things we don't want to happen. So when it is being done otherwise, not following the vidhi, then an anartha can take place. Swara varna viparyayat. Because of the error, the viparyaya, the error of swara and varna, you mispronounce the letter, you mispronounce the swara, the tone, right? So because of this error, from not doing it properly, there can be an anartha, a negative result. So you need to follow the niyama when you're doing japa, same with that murti. Okay? Ready?
Yeah. I hope I don't do it wrong.
We don't do it wrong. It does say something, though I think Bhagawan probably in his compassion gives a lot of slack to the West.
Got a lot of slack.
But you know, I find it painful, and I'm sure that Indians find it painful also. If one of our chants, like Purnamada for Sahana Bhavatu, that do have swaras, when it's being sung, things that are meant to be chanted, or if somebody puts it to a tune or something like that, not realizing it's all done very innocently, and the words, if translated, are so beautiful, they're so beautiful, you know, so you think, well, let me just put this, let me sing this to a tune, and so what is meant to be a very exact chant is now, it's morphed into something, which for an Indian heart is painful to hear that, because it's really taking it outside of what was traditionally meant for that, and what is considered to be sacred, and is kept, it does have niyamas. There is a certain way that needs to be chanted. Even the mantra Om, Swamiji, he can't help himself making fun of this because it's painful. But Om is Om. It's not Aum. That's Swamiji. Aum. No, it's Om. It's Om. There can be some extension of the makara, om, om, om. The makara, that mm, that's all right. Om, 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 do that. But not, om, that we don't do that. So that's just taking something from that you receive in the West, or something that seems beautiful to you, but you don't realize. And that's the simplicity of it. So there's no harm meant. But it's being taken out of a culture that holds that in a particular way, you know, as being something very sacred, and also something that does produce a subtle adrishtapala, a subtle result. And so when you see those words that are meant to
produce punya and drishtapala being said improperly, it also makes you a little worried.
What's going
to
happen?
Bhagavan. And that's also just another thing. When I chant, I always have a vritti before I chant that if I miss a swara, to please correct it. Please accept this chant as being done correctly. I make that sankalpa. And then I try to do it as correctly as I possibly can, but I do make that sankalpa, which is common, really, not just for Westerners, but it's common for Indians to make that sankalpa, that this chant be received as though being done perfectly. It's also respectful. Then Bhagavan will say, she's trying. She has a good heart. I can see that she's really trying to do it perfectly, and she did make that sankalpa, so we will accept it. Let's do the next verse. Shuddhe vadrishta badha krit, shuddhe vadrishta badha krit, viparita cha bhavana, viparita cha bhavana, jaya kenya pyupayena, jaya kena pyupayena, nasyatra nushtite kramaha, nasyatra nushtite kramaha. Shuddha eva. Drishta Bhadha Krit, Drishta Bhadha Krit, Viparita Chabhavana, Jaya Kena Api Upayena, Kenapi Upayena, Na Asti Atra Anushtitehe Kramaha. Shuddha eva, like eating. Shuddha is eating. Like hunger, sorry, like hungering. Shuddha eva, like hunger. Drishta bada krit, that which produces pain. Bada, that which produces pain, which is seen. Like hunger. Hunger is a seen pain. Viparita bhavana cha. Viparita bhavana. This erroneous conclusions, they produce pain which is seen. It's being experienced here and now. The viparita bhavana. Okay, it produces pain that is being experienced here and now. Shuddha eva, like hunger. Okay. Jaya, that viparita bhavana, jaya, is to be conquered. Kenapi upayena. By any means. Upaya is a means. Kenapi, by any means. Any applicable means. Right? Not any means. I mean, it has to be relevant. But upaya means is a means that would work to remove that. So by whatever means. Right? Just like hunger, there are many ways to assuage your hunger. Like that, there are many ways to remove the viparita bhavana. So whatever, by whatever means, right? This viparita bhavana can be conquered. Na asti atra. Here, there is no kramaha. There is no orderly sequence of things to be done. Right? For there is no orderly sequence of practice. Anushtitaha, of that which is to be practiced. In other words, there's not a set of rules that you have to follow in order to remove the viparita bhavana. You know, whatever means you have at your disposal at that given time, that will work in terms of bringing yourself back to your vision, you use that, right? Just like whatever food is there available to you when you're starving, hungry, is that food that you can go ahead and use to assuage your hunger, right? Whatever it happens to be. So whatever you have, whatever tools you have available to you in your knowledge basket, in your basket of understanding, right, to bring, to relieve this viparita bhavana, those are the things that you use. There are no special rules. Like with eating. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice. Let's stop here because we're going to a different section. Not different exactly, just kind of different. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
It makes this almost kind of like a living process that just goes on. Once you have the understanding, it becomes alive in the mind.
See, if your mind is not abiding in your vision, you know, then it needs some help. That's all it is. You just need to bring it back. And you have all of these different tools, all these different ways to bring it back, depending on what kind of trouble it's in, you know, to bring it back to you, to Shanti, to that state of resolve, that state of understanding. So there's, you're getting, why would you not bring it back? The only reason you don't bring it back is because you don't know how to do that. You haven't realized. You haven't even, perhaps, speaking of myself, for a while I didn't even realize that I needed to do that. I just thought it should be okay.
Automatic.
I didn't realize that when it's out floundering around that I should actually, you know, go and get it and help it back, you know. But actually that's what you should do. If your mind is getting lost, just like a child is lost, say your poor little child, you've taken it to the shopping mall, and it gets a little away from you, what's the first thing you do? You don't ever let it get very far. Mm-hmm. It's your child. Mm-hmm. You immediately go and bring your child back, you know. And if it gets too far, you panic. So you get in the habit, you know, of helping your mind, because it's the mind, it's the whole emotional mind, all the unconscious, all of this material that has kind of a life of its own. Needs to be kind of taken care of by the buddhi until it transforms itself. You know, by your knowledge, it transforms itself, but it doesn't transform itself right away. It doesn't transform itself or kind of grow up or mature, whatever you want to say, without some care. You can't expect that, because actually a lot of these emotional problems and hurts, they're all locked there in the unconscious. They're not current baggage. They're not current events. You know, they're current events that are triggering these emotions that are kind of resting there in the unconscious. And so unless they're given some kind of care, you know, they just keep triggering because they're unconscious after all. And so that's why we have to really learn how to handle our emotional life and the emotions that are coming up from the unconscious and learn how to be with them and then learn how to deal with current events by just bringing your knowledge back. You find yourself getting lost. And so you don't need to. I mean, what happens is you need to do that less and less and less. But as long as you need to do it, and in whatever way you need to do it, you just simply do it. It becomes just part of your way of living.
Yeah, it becomes natural, kind of.
It becomes natural. You develop it's a natural way to be with your mind because you understand it. You understand your mind. And you don't have expectations that it should be a perfect little mind. Like, poor children, you know. Say the parent, what a nightmare. Expect the child to be the perfect little child. That poor little child and poor parent, they're both going to be in hell. You know? But say you know how to be. And to give the space that's necessary, to give the love that's necessary and the care, and to help it along. And to expect it to be tripping and falling and doing this and that and getting itself into trouble. You just expect it because that's what a child does. And that's what your mind does too until all of it has been totally saturated. with your knowledge. And that takes some time because the mind is complex. But it doesn't make any difference to your shanti. The complexities of the mind and emotional life don't make a difference to your shanti if your buddhi knows how to be, you know, your mind knows how to be with that mind. Yeah.
So you don't despair then when it...
Well, say you're despairing, then you have to, the buddhi has to then come to the, take care of that despair. Mm-hmm. You know? And you keep developing an understanding of just how to do that. You know, how to care for the mind in all of these different situations. You know? And even if a situation comes up that is too big for you, it's just too big. Mm-hmm. It's causing too much pain. There's no way that you can make that distress or pain go away or get rid of the reaction. It's just too big. There's too much. It's too involved. Even when you objectify it, you see that for you, this is just a papa. It's something there that you, it's too big for you to get out of that particular pain. And so then you have to accept that as Ishwara also. That's true. It's too big for you. You can't just dismiss it. You can't outgrow it immediately. It's more like it has to be birthed, you know, over a long period of time. Maybe you'll come out the other end later. Not now. You're not able to right now. That's also part of Ishwara. And that also you have to accept as Ishwara. And you have to accept the fact that, okay, this I'm not able to really neutralize or handle right now. I just have to be with the pain of it. And you can understand it and you can see it and all of the ins and outs that have gone into creating that situation, which is very useful to do. If you have a painful situation, there's a lot involved. Cause and effect of a network is a big network that goes back into the past and in, you know, in time and space. It's quite a network. And to kind of appreciate your place in that network along with everybody else's place that has created this kind of painful situation that you're not able to get yourself out of or even forgive the people involved. You just can't. then you have to say, that's also Ishwara. And I just have to suffer this for the time being and accept that. It's Ishwara. What can you do?
Sort of like internal forbearance?
Yeah, in a sense it's an internal forbearance in the sense of recognizing that this, all of this, you know, it's karmapala. You know, it's all of this is Ishwara, and my own inability to handle the situation is Ishwara also. All of it. And so then you just put on to that. And that also gives you some freedom, because what are you going to do? Say, oh my God, I can't handle this situation. What a loser. Or are you going to say, wow, I really can't handle the situation. That's interesting. That's how it is. That's Ishwara. I have to accept that. You have to accept. And in several verses in the Bhagavad Gita, several verses ago, I think it was in chapter 3, Krishna himself says, you need to jaya jayao. Jaya jayao. In both your ashanti has to be both there in your success and in your failure. You know, and then Shankara, in his Bhasha, says, he writes a couple of lines on it. He says, even when you're not able to do any of this, that also you have to accept. That also you need to have that shanti.
Really? There's always a sense of not improvement then, you know?
Well, actually, there's a huge improvement. Yeah. If you can do that, the samatvam means... My buddhi can keep its samatvam, its equipoise, not only in reference to the world, but also in reference to my success and failure, even in reference to my antakarana shuddhi, even in reference to my own qualities. Because otherwise you're putting a huge pressure on yourself. It's like saying, you will accept the perfect you, you know? But the imperfect you is to be rejected. Mm. Say, no, we have to accept the perfect you and the imperfect you as all part of Ishvara. And then accepting it, accepting the that reality, then we try to help. That's the key. It's not accepting, saying, okay, go on being like that, who cares? We care because it causes pain. We don't want the pain. So it's not that. It's, I accept this as part of Ishvara, as my karmapala. There's a lot involved in this. So I accept this. I accept my own inability to handle this situation. And so now let me try to do what I can. Let me try to help. So that gives that one, let me understand the situation as it is. Let me try to help. That's Swamiji. That's a Mahatma. He's always like that. Oh, he understands the situation the best that he can, and he tries to help. That's it. It's so simple. That's what our buddhi has to be toward everything. So even toward what we're not able to do well, which we would like to be able to do well. Whatever values we're lacking, we'd like to have perfect values and be acting them out so nicely. That would be so great. But we're not. We have our little shortcomings. Okay, I accept that and let me try to work on it. Let me try to help. Makes such a difference. So underline, you always have shanti, because the mind, the buddhi is a jnani. Your buddhi is a jnani. There's still problems in the manas, right? Things that have not been totally assimilated, and our habits, and we have to learn how to behave dharmically in the world. We can have bad habits just in the way we behave toward others in the world, that type of thing. Yeah, that's all culture. We have to cultivate different ways of being if we're causing strife for ourselves and others. That's all learning, learning, learning. But if your buddhi has knowledge, it can help you do that without making a villain out of you or a villain out of the parts, you know, or inadequate person out of the parts that are not living up to your expectations.
And some of that is also very culturally conditioned. Let's say, for instance, German culture is very different or critical, so we have to deal with that.
That's right. Different cultures are different. And they say the German culture can be very perfectionist and judgmental and critical. Then that particular learning how to be kind to your mind and becomes very, very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think all cultures have it, but other cultures won't. Some cultures will have maybe more problems in one area than in another. But then as you become aware of those problems, then you know how to handle that particular problem in a way to neutralize it so the mind can be shanti. You can be critical to, say you're judgmental and critical of others, it's for sure you're that to yourself. And the opposite is true also. If you've learned to give yourself a lot of space and just want to help, then that's how you'll be toward other people also. Because that's your way of being. It becomes the buddhi. That's the way the buddhi handles problems. If you handle those internal problems in that way, you'll handle external problems in that way. That's why it's nothing wrong in working on yourself first, because everybody benefits. You know, as we become a kinder person to ourselves, everybody else is rewarded, gets a reward also, you know. And the opposite is not true. Like, say, for instance, if you're not kind to yourself, say you're harsh and critical and judgmental to yourself, but you seem kind and non-judgmental to others, it's only seeming. There's this ugly thing underneath. You know, the syrupy smile with something else going on underneath. You always feel the thing underneath, so the person can't relax. You can't fake it. You can't fake your accommodation. If you're not self-accommodating, you're not really accommodating external either, because the buddhi is a non-accommodator, right? The person inside is a non-accommodator. And so that non-accommodator looks outside as well as inside. So once you start working, it's easiest, I think it's easier to work on it inside. Because you can get the immediate results. The non-accommodator is creating pain. And the one who comes in and says, no, don't worry, it's okay, creates relaxation. So you get used to, you get used to having shanti. And that just, and then if you have the shanti, a mind that has shanti is accommodating. So a mind that doesn't have shanti is critical because something's wrong, you know. You have to, it has to land somewhere, something is wrong. So, there you are.
Carol, with the jagan mithya part, is that just sort of recognizing that it's just changing all the time? And
the jagan mithya is the whole thing. When you recognize something as mithya, you recognize what is really there, which is the satyam, which is Brahman, right? And you recognize that the mithya itself doesn't affect the satyam. And that it's something that is perishable and it's constantly changing. Right? And so this world that we experience is, you can take it freshly. One thing Swamiji has always said, and I've extrapolated it to apply to everything really, is he said, you know, I take a person fresh. I always take a person fresh every moment. So say you've just had a temper tantrum yesterday and you come in today. Well, Swamiji will take you for what you are right now. You know, he takes it fresh. Because that's the truth of it, you know. People and things and everything is always changing. So you see what it is now. Right? Because the satyam, the reality of the person, and the reality of the situation is Brahman. The person, in fact, is never changing. It's an important thing to know. The person is never changing, the Atma. And so these clouds, thunderstorms can go through the mind. Crazy things can go through the mind. You know. But those will pass. They're mithya. And the same person that was kind of as though being covered by the thundercloud is still there during the thundercloud. And when the thundercloud is gone, then that person, there they are. Because nothing's ever happened to the person. See, sometimes for jnanis, that's why it's easy, nice to be like at the ashram and a family of people who have knowledge, because they'll give you a break. They know it's just your mind has just gone off on some tangent, but then he'll be back. She'll be back. He'll be okay.
And then also for
like, the Nididhyasana
for the Jagan Mithya would also be the Vairagya, right? To see like my happiness isn't in these, doesn't. Because that's a...
That's right. It's all part of bringing your mind back. Because what happens is, you know, you think that in order for you to be happy, this has to be like this, this has to be like this, and that has to be like that. It's complicated, complex. And so you need to bring your mind back from that notion. And part of also in bringing your mind back from that notion is appreciating, you know, this is Ishwara. This situation that I'm in right now is my situation, and it is my prarabdha also, you know. And so to just allow yourself to relax into it. There's a lot of different things you can talk to yourself based on your knowledge. Like one is, you don't really, nobody really knows what is good or bad for them in the big picture. You know, like my staying, I didn't particularly want to stay for 5 weeks in that Ayurvedic hospital, but that was the reality. And in the big picture, that could be a wonderful thing. So what am I going to do? Not want to be there, or just think this is an opportunity? The whole life is like that. Sometimes things are happening that maybe not exactly what you would choose, but this is what is here. And if you think of it as Ishwara and as your prarabdha, then like Greg Gomila would always say, what's the yes behind the no? You know, something's been denied to you, but in denying that one thing to you, this whole other thing is there. So what is that? Because that's Ishwara, that's your prarabdha. So this is all knowledge that you bring. This is one of the many, many things you can bring to your mind, depending upon what problem it happens to be having. You know? Do I really need that to be in a particular way, that particular way, in order for me to be happy? Is that the source of my ananda? whatever it is, you, whatever you know, you can bring to play on what is causing your mind the pain. Many different levels, you know, but it all has to do with your understanding and your knowledge. That's what you're bringing to your to mind to help it. Yeah.
This is the idea of there's many ways to eat.
There's many ways to assuage your hunger, and there are many ways to do nididhyasana, to remove that viparita bhavana from the mind. But it all has to do with your knowledge basket, all of the different tools and all of the different things that you understand about how to take care of your mind in light of your knowledge.
It's so freeing because you can use one technique at one time and another and another. And
that's absolutely right. You know, your mind needs different things at different times to take care of it. And sometimes the things are on a more childlike level. You know, different unconscious complexes and things. All it needs is some reassurance and some love. And to let it mature and grow out of that particular complex. But then the buddhi, the one that's giving it that reassurance and love, or providing the space for it to be cared for. Remember that that buddhi is a jnani. And that buddhi has knowledge, has self-knowledge. And from the standpoint of that guru buddhi, this little one's being taken care of. Yeah. That's so nice.
What do you mean by, you say guru buddhi?
Guru buddhi. I said because the buddhi has knowledge. You know, the one that, like, so just like Swamiji, for instance, I said guru buddhi because the buddhi, that one who has knowledge, is the one who's taking care of all of different parts of the mind that are acting out in this way or that way. And so that buddhi is one that understands and accommodates and helps. Just like your teacher. That's all I meant. I didn't mean anything complicated.
Like your inner teacher.
Yeah.
Your inner friend.
Yeah.
You said before you left.
Yeah, yeah.
When you hear you talk like this, it's always so soothing. Can I come back for more soothing?
It is, this knowledge is soothing. So
yeah.
It is soothing. That's for sure. So. It really is.